Let us turn now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. I'll be reading just two verses. We've had some lengthy readings lately, especially in the evening service, from the book of Exodus. But I wanted to make a very small, short reading today, just because of its poignancy, and just because sometimes it's good, rather than to lose the trees for the forest. It's sometimes it's good to just look at an individual tree. And so here we have it in verse Matthew 6, verse 22 through 23. Here, now listen to the word of God. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The title of the sermon is, What's in Your Eye? What's in Your Eye? This is a sermon that came from devotions that I was doing this past week, and it just struck me so powerfully that I thought, I've got to preach on that topic. And since we're between series, having just finished one on worship, and I'm inclined to start next to talk about, to have some sermons on officers and the organized church, as that's where we're going. So in between those two series, I was really looking at the end of Matthew, where he exhorts people not to worry in a number of different ways. Don't worry about things. Don't worry about things. But then I had passed by these two verses up above, and I went back to them, and I was so impressed with Jesus and how he could express himself so simply and yet so powerfully. So this is both a study of the ideas themselves, and it's also a study of Jesus' brilliance, because I see that continuously, and so often I wonder, how can people stand back and not cast themselves headlong into this ministry and kingdom that represents our Lord Jesus Christ? Again and again, when I look at the Word of God, I see the brilliance of Christ. And the more I see the brilliance of Christ, the more brilliant His atonement and His working up our righteousness appears to me as an individual. So I ask you to look at these two verses for the subject matter that they entail, and then also just to admire this person who spoke these words, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a speaker, what a mind, what a Savior. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I don't know how a person could have a much more impactful sermon in two verses than this. It is tremendously penetrating, at least it was to my heart. First of all, I'm amazed at the simplicity of Jesus' illustration. So often he will take something which is so obvious and so simple, and his sermon on that will penetrate to the joints and the marrow of my being. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Then there's that but what if the contrary is the case? Now we see, first of all, the simplicity of this illustration. The eye is so fundamental to our lives that implicitly or intuitively we know how important it is. If we were to suddenly be struck blind here in this room, we know immediately how much difficulty we would have. We would have difficulty getting out of the room. We'd be down on all fours probably, or at least if we were walking, we'd be feeling our way along. The idea of not having eyesight is unbelievable to us, because we have it, and to be without it just seems so impossible for us. And we see also on the surface of the thing how if we don't have our eyesight, how problematic that would be. If we don't have it, then we're immediately in trouble. This really feeds into our admiration of people that are blind and for their ability to function, for their ability to walk around with their canes and that sort of thing, for their ability to deal with literature, to read in Braille and these kinds of things. And our admiration goes out to these people because we realize what a terrible hurdle it would be in our own estimation if we did not have our eyesight. And so it's an illustration that is very simple and very, it just jumps out at us. Now, there's not only the simplicity of this thing, but there's also the applicability of his illustration, because we think of ourselves and it hits us very personally. I mean, if we can, when you hear Jesus say to you, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. And we think we apply that to ourselves. And then likewise, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And we tend to apply that to ourselves. So it's very personal, and most of us can't imagine being without eyesight. In Jesus' illustration, he talks about how the eye is like the lamp of the body. It, as soon as the lamp is turned on, then you can see, you can survey your life, you can survey the landscape around you, you can see the chairs that are there, you can see the couch. A couple times in my life, when I've been traveling, I've woken up in the middle of the night for one reason or another, and had to get moved. Usually it's for the bathroom. And if I get disoriented, it's the most troubling thing in the world. I've sometimes had it where I couldn't find the door. And I felt the walls, and I've tried to remember the room that I was sleeping in, the guest room that I was sleeping in, and I couldn't find my way out. And it was, in the case of needing to go to the bathroom, you usually don't wake up unless it's a bad situation. And then when you can't find your way out, it just puts all the more pressure on. And a couple times in my life, I've virtually screamed, how can I find my way? I can't find a light switch. I can't find the door. And I just can't imagine what I can do. All of that comes upon you in a very personal way. So there's a simplicity of the thing. There's the applicability of it. But Jesus most powerfully uses this illustration in a spiritual way. So not only is there simplicity and applicability, but there's a spirituality to this little illustration of our Lord Jesus, or this metaphor that he uses. There's a spirituality for it, because as much as we can conceive of difficulty in the physical situation of not being able to find our way in a dark place, I know another bad dream I've had in my life is that I've gone caving, and then I'm in the cave, and then my light goes out, and I can't get. And I've either run out of fuel. Has anybody else? I see people shaking heads. Maybe you've had this dream too. And, you know, so you're in a strange place, and so you're thinking, how in the world am I ever going to find my way out of this cave if I can't see, if I have no light? Well, that's a powerful thought or a bad dream in this life. But when you apply it to the spiritual side of your life, then it's even more powerful. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What's the difference between a good eye, the eye of light, and the eye of darkness in spiritual terms? It's whether or not you understand things as they are, as God created them to be. The Lord says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In terms of this illustration, if a person is not born again, if the Holy Spirit has not made that person a new person, Of necessity, they are stumbling around in the darkness and they have no capacity to see. If you cannot see a door, or if you cannot see a solution, then how can you possibly obtain it? You can't obtain something that you cannot perceive. And yet that is the illustration here. That is the problem. Our Lord Jesus says that it's great. The eye is great if it sees, and it sees the necessity for redemption. The eye, it's wonderful if your eye can see the Savior. You perceive your situation, your sin. You have a perception of the awful sovereignty of God. If the sovereignty of God is set against you, if God knows everything, if God controls everything, and you are outside the bounds of His love, then what can you do? If you can't see your problem or you can't see your solution, what can a person do? And so as I thought of this scripture, I just thought more and more, and even more poignantly for me, Jesus said, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What can a person possibly do if their eye is dark and they see nothing of what they need to see? And you see how calamitous that is. You see how pressure-packed that is. You see how dark that is. You see how critical that is. Oh, brothers and sisters, the world lies swathed in so much darkness without understanding. They don't see, and they don't have any capacity to see. And Jesus speaks here of the eye as key to the going forward. Now, there's another sense in this also, and that is that each of us has to think about our own eyes. Are your eyes being a guide to you of light? Or are your eyes being a guard to you in darkness? And as I read through this, the immediate thought that I had was, where are my eyes guiding me? Because you can step back and you can sort of watch yourself. What are your eyes attracted to? To what are your eyes drawn? Do you make a profession of faith on one hand? Oh, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, and yet your eyes, if you could step out of yourself and watch your eyes were constantly being drawn to the things of darkness. Would your profession really be true? Would it be sincere? What are your eyes drawn to? What is in your eyes? Are your eyes attracted to the high things of God? Are they attracted to the beautiful things of Christ? Or are those things the things that you know you ought to be attracted to, but what your eyes are attracted to are something altogether different? Oh, brothers and sisters, it's a serious thing, isn't it? This two-verse sermon by the Lord Jesus Christ. It scares me as I look at my eyes and my eyesight. Jesus said, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Some people will talk about how they're drawn to Christ, but at the same time, every decision in their life is made trying to figure out the calculus of what is going to be safer, what is going to be more calm in their lives. And instead of finding their safety and their calm with Christ, I think of some of the great martyrs who lost their lives out of a disrespect for the safety in their lives. But the worst thing, the most dangerous thing that they did was actually the safest thing that they did. Their eyes drew them to fidelity in Christ, in the light of the kingdom of God. And so they were consumed, as was Jesus, zeal for thy house, has consumed me, it was said of him. How easy it is for us to be drawn, for our eyes to be drawn to the totems. The totems, like a totem pole. The totems of our lives. Instead of being drawn to that which is Christ. I think our politicians so often think of what is the easiest, what is the best, what is the safest thing to do short term. But they never think long term. And so they have a pragmatism after a fashion, but it's a flawed pragmatism because it only considers short-term ease, short-term blessing, short-term goodness. Their eyes are leading them in the wrong way. I think of men, how men, and these days the women's groups and the women's rights say, you men are not any more sinful than we are. We are just as sexually tempted as you are. Well, great. That's a wonderful thing to have an equality with, because I know the problems of men. I know where our eyes are drawn. How can we say to the living God, our eyes are guiding us to the light? If our eyes are drawing us to the darkness, watch yourself. Step outside of yourself. Have an alter ego. Where is the eyesight of your life drawn? Is it drawn to those women in your life, those men that God has given you? Or are you, or do you feel that they are insufficient? You feel that if you were to write the circumstances of your life over, that you would be married to a different person. Oh, certainly life would be better then. No, brothers and sisters, that prescription that God has written for each one of us is far better than any of us deserve. And when we, in our autonomy, reflect as if we could see all of the circumstances of our lives, and we reflect from the omniscience as if we were as omniscient as God, and we say, oh, this person, they would find far less fault with me than my wife does. Or my wife would be less nervous, or my wife would be more beautiful, or my life would be this, or my wife would be that. And of course, the women of our lives, the wives, can do the same thing. Oh, we men, we are such futzes. I look at myself and I'm utterly amazed that just based on the flesh that Susan has stayed with me and been committed to me in faith for all these years. But I know it's not Susan alone, it's the Lord that has done this. But if we're realistic with ourselves, no matter how many virtues we can find in ourselves, we find 10 times the amount of vices. If we've done one thing right, we've left 9 things done wrongly or undone in the right way. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are so weak, and so if our eyes would lead us astray, if our eyes would draw us this way when God calls us that way, how terrible is our situation. Our whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in us is darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, the more you analyze this, the more you see how critical our situation is to flee to the living God, to say, oh God, take over my life. Be my sovereign. Give me whatever circumstances you would, be they harsh or soft. Give me whatever circumstances. You have drawn out for me, for they are my milk, my meat, and my drink. Isn't that what Jesus said? Oh my goodness. Oh my. When you think of what Jesus accepted for himself, did any one of us ever receive a more unwarranted, unfair designation for life than Jesus Christ did? He was the perfect Son of the Father above. Everything that he did merited blessing. Everything that he did came out of a pure love of God. And yet he stepped aside from all of that and took upon himself the role of a servant, landing on this corrupt, inflicted planet and dying, living and dying, so that he might rescue all of the elect, all of the people that his Father gave him to save. Oh, if he had had a bad eye, we would all be lost. There would be no hope for us. But our Lord Jesus was so selfless. His mind was so much taken up with the glory of his Father that his eye continuously informed him of the right way, of the light. And it's because of the light that was in the eye of the Son that all of us can be here today. And that all confessing Christians, wherever they might be found, can sit and sing unto the Lord and rejoice. Because the light of life was in his eye. He was not drawn aside as you and I. If we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we confess him as our Savior and our Lord, how can we then let off in pursuit of this holy walk to which he has called us? Look at your eyes. Inspect your eyes. Oh. If we see what we often are attracted to, how much more do we need Christ in our lives? How much more do we need his Spirit to pull us and to drive us along? I was reflecting on this verse. It's just so amazing. Two sentences, two verses of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, as powerful a sermon as you'll ever hear in your ears. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Does this not throw us? Does this not propel us forward to obtain the pure things of Christ? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, in the Christian life, it feels so good in your devotions to come clean with God and to live nakedly before him, to drop all your artifice and your pretense and simply ask him for his help. How much do we need him every day of our lives and every moment of our lives? I look at my soul and I think of the images of the leper in the Bible, the sick person who is so skeevy. He has these sores on the outsides of his body. His sores are like lance. They're leaking toxins. He's infected and he cannot cure himself. And over and against this, we have the great physician who is able to heal us and take all of this stuff, all of this junk, all of this dishonesty that's in our hearts. He's able to take the eye and do a wonderful transplant, and he's able to put a new lamp in our eye that draws us unto him. And I would exhort the congregation today to take these two verses, this two-verse sermon, to take this to heart. Do not play games with God. Do not pretend there is no life in it, only death, only darkness. You must have the Lord in your life. You must have his redemption. You must have his Spirit working within you, or you have no hope whatsoever. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, the amazing man that preached this amazing sermon, oh God, he is able to save us even to the uttermost. I pray today that everyone here in this congregation is truly redeemed. I pray that thy Holy Spirit is truly within them. But as hard as I preach and as much as I cry, that cannot come to pass, O Lord, outside of thy mercy. So I pray for my people, O Lord. I pray for those who are far off and yet to come. I pray, O Lord, for thy redemptive work. O God, work thy work. Lighten the eyes of the people. Help them to see. And then help them to love the things that they behold, the good things of thy hand. and help them to run toward the light and deny the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us close now by singing Psalm 119R. It's a lovely psalm speaking of the words of God, the testimonies, and how wondrous they are in our eyes.
Thy testimonies I observe, for they are wondrous in my eyes. The opening of thy word gives light and makes the simple hearted wise. I open wide my mouth and pant, I long for all commands of thine. Turn thou to me the mercy shown to sin o'er me have sway. Redeem me from the power of man, and I thy precepts will obey. Thy face make on thy servant shine, teach me thy statutes, for I weep. The tears in streams flow from my eyes, because thy law they do not keep.